We're going to start in these three verses. Keep your Bibles handy. We're going to be doing some traveling throughout the Scriptures from the beginning in the book of Genesis right to the very end in the book of Revelation. We're going to show you the big picture. We had our symbols of God's eternity, the symbol of infinity, and Brother Mark is going to put that back up for us. Jesus before the world and Jesus after the world timeline, the timeline, of course, in the center, and we'll be putting some things back up, so adding some things to it next week, and then the fishing line will come down. Ladies in the choir looked at that and said, what is that? What is that doing there? Who put that there? Why is that there? It annoys them. We're in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning and that we would be encouraged and we would be motivated to be light, that get up and get going, just as Abraham did, not sit still, not sit on the good news, but to be a blessing to the world because sin is a curse to the world. And without salvation, the world is cursed. And I pray that we'd be reminded of that, that we would be challenged by that. And we'll praise you for what you do in our hearts this morning. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week we started by showing you some things on the timeline. And we saw, obviously, infinity. And then we had creation. And in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created God created the heaven and the earth. But before there was creation, there was God. And before there was creation, God had a plan. God did not put man here. And there are some people that teach this, that God put man here not knowing that man was going to sin. Now, they show their ignorance of God's word and ignorance of God himself. The Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 24 says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me, Jesus Christ, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. Thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. And that's pretty impressive. I've got a Calvinism trigger warning. If you're a Calvinism, you tend towards Calvinism, you're probably not going to like this next verse. But there's a lot in the Bible that you don't like and don't understand, although they claim to be super intelligent and be able to see things that you common people can't see. That's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And the Calvinists go, whoa. There you got it right there. That God hath chosen us to be saved before the foundation of the world. You really should read the entire verse. That God hath chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blemish. God determined ahead of time that he was going to go to the cross. God determined ahead of time that those that were going to accept Christ were going to be holy and without blemish. Why is that? Because when you're blemished, your light doesn't shine. When you're not holy, people can't see Christ. That you'll be holy and without blame before him in love. So we talked about Peter. Peter had a problem, and in Acts chapter 10, went to Cornelius, and where we were last week, and Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter had to be told three times and then still think about it. I don't want to take the gospel to the Gentiles. I mean, I'm a Jewish person. We're the elect, right? Very similar Judaism in the first century was very similar to Calvinism today. This for us, I mean, we're the elect, we're the chosen, we're the Jewish people, right? We're going to get to heaven just because we're a Jew? You turn that off, please. No, that is not the case. You are not going to get to heaven just because you are a Jew. You're going to get to heaven because you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you are not going to get to heaven at all, regardless. Romans chapter 10 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that come to him, call upon him." So Peter came to realize in this first century that he had a prejudice, that he had a bias, and that bias was that he thought that salvation was for the Jew alone. But in 1 Peter, again, in Acts chapter 10, he was confronted with that. And Christ said, God said to him, "What I have cleansed, don't you call unclean. Don't you call unclean." Peter's prejudice was so that he said to Cornelius, "You know that as a Jew, it's unlawful for me even to go into your house." Well, that's not from the Bible. Where did that come from? That came from the external rules of Judaism. But notice what Peter says as he's been anointed by God to write his first epistle, the first chapter, the 18th verse. "For as much as ye know..." For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from the tradition of your fathers. You think that's accidental? Where did he get that he was not able to go into the house of a Gentile person to eat from the tradition of his fathers? Didn't get that from the Word of God. Certainly didn't get that from the book of Jonah. "Rise, go to Nineveh, Gentiles, and preach, for their wickedness has come up before me. Received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him," who, Jesus Christ, "do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope may be in God." So, a goose pimple warning, if you are prone to goosebumps. Peter, who is a believing Jew, who followed Christ, has just come to realize that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter, once a Jewish people, a Jewish man who was resistant to the thought that a Gentile person could receive Christ. And in order to have that opinion, you have to ignore the Old Testament, a great portion of it. And we're going to show you that this morning. Peter has now come to embrace a whosoever will salvation. We sang the song last week. It's a kid's song, but it's a great song. "Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me. Oh, surely meaneth me." It's a great doctrinal song. "Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me." And Peter has come to realize whosoever meaneth the Gentile person as well. So Acts chapter 10, Peter has finally come to embrace God's big picture. The big picture of that was presented when Noah, God destroyed the flood. Noah preached for how many years? Noah is before Genesis chapter 12. It's in Genesis chapter 6. And Noah preached what? He preached salvation. To whom? There were no Jews. To the world. And we mentioned at the time that the world population at the time of the flood was about 10 billion people. To give you an estimate on how big 10 billion is, here we are way out here, 2024, and our world population right now is about 8.2 billion. There are 10 billion. Why is that? Well, you can take generation, take the people. They were living 1,000 years. They weren't dying. So the world population went up very quickly. They were having children. All kinds of things were going on. The world population, it's hard for us to imagine that the world population way back here was as much as, was more than it is today. Because what does the world preach? Overpopulation, we're going to run out of resources. And God just shakes his head. You're not going to run out of resources. You're not going to do that. So in Genesis chapter 12, we have Abraham and the 70 nations. And that's where we are in chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And typically we look at Revelation or at Genesis chapter 12 and we think, well, that's financially. You let me say, you didn't have all the money in the world, but you died without Jesus Christ, you are cursed. I'm going to bless them because you're going to bring them salvation. Abraham was to be a light. The Jewish people were to be a light to the world. I mentioned that last week in Matthew chapter 5, but the Old Testament folks, the Old Testament Jew, lost sight of that. Next week, I'm going to bring you the third part of the three parts of the danger of failing to see that you're light. And we'll go through the Old Testament and show you what happens to a people that forget that they're supposed to be light. And we'll follow the Jewish people, we'll see them, and show you what happened to them as a group of people and what happened to them individually. So, what people failed to realize, we mentioned last week, that between the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, between Genesis chapter 11 and Matthew is about 2,000 years, 2,200, depending upon how you count. The birth of Jesus. There's a whole lot of real estate in here. There's 2,000 years there. There's 2,500 years here. And there's another 25. I got another one over here somewhere. There's another 2,500 years, 2,000 years on this side between here and 2024. But what do we have a tendency to look at? We have a tendency to look for the rapture. We're looking for the tribulation period. We're looking for the millennial reign, the second coming, the great white throne judgment. We're looking at all these things. That is not a new tendency. We're looking for the millennial reign of Christ. We're looking for all this stuff to go on, and that's what we want to talk about. Here we are in the church age. We're sliding along. This 2000 to 2024, heading along towards the rapture, and we want the Lord to come back. Look with me to Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. Genesis chapter 18. We're going to look at some scriptures here. The primary need of man is salvation. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. Now let's start at verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham this thing which I shall do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now if you were, if you had destroyed the world by flood, and you had given 2,000 years, you got Abraham, that and the 70 nations. You look at that and you say, well, you know what? I am going to bring in, I'm going to make a guy a great nation. You'd look at the world at the time and you would say, if I'm going to make somebody a great nation, I'm going to choose somebody who is, I don't know, 40 years of age, maybe has 18 kids. And he's going to be a blessing. But no, God doesn't. God chooses Abraham, a man who is, from Genesis chapter 12, 75 years of age, who has no children. He's 75, no kids, no hope of kids coming anytime in his lifetime, and God says, I'm going to make of him a great nation. Why do you think God did that? I mean, that's not who we would have chosen. God did that so that nobody would be able to say, man did this. Nobody would be able to say, Abraham did this. Nobody would be able to say, Sarah did this. Now, Abraham, from time to time, he thought God needed help with his plan that he had before the foundation of the world. So there were several times when Abraham thought, you know what, I'm going to help God out. And so he said, his wife said, Sarah, hey, why don't you have an illicit affair with my handmaid Hagar? And so he did. And we have the Muslim race today, the problems in the Middle East as a result of Abraham. Not that he didn't believe, he believed God. He just thought God needed some help. Are you ready for this? Anytime you help God, you birth an Ishmael. Anytime you think God help, God's plan needs help, God's got stuck in a ditch, and you do something outside of God's word to help God out, you birth an Ishmael every single time. We can hard on Abraham, but that's the truth. Look at Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Again, verse 18. Starting at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed, as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And what is this? This is the time, the event, where God said to Abraham, I want you to take Ishmael, your only son. So here's Abraham, Isaac, thy only son. And so here is Abraham, 75 and aging, at 90 years of age. He has a child. Isaac is born, and God says to him, I want you to take that son up onto the mountain. So Abraham takes him up, lays him. His son says, hey, Dad, we have fire, and here's the wood. But where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says this, my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. What does that sound like? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What did Abraham understand? At the spot where Jesus Christ was going to be crucified, Abraham took his son. Years before Jesus Christ died on the cross, Abraham took his son Isaac to the place where Christ was going to be crucified and said, my son, God shall provide himself a sacrifice. Can you imagine the world? What's Abraham doing? Going up to this place to sacrifice? Sacrifice what? Word on the street is he's going to sacrifice his son. Why would he do that? I mean, here's a guy not approaching 100 years of age. And he said all along that he's going to be a great nation. Oh, my goodness. It's a miracle. Can you imagine having a baby when you're 90 years of age? No, sirree, buddy. I don't want to be changing diapers when I'm 90. I need my sleep. Talk on the street. Is he going to go up there and kill that son? Well, how's that going to work? He think God's going to give him another son? What did it do? Got the world's attention to what? Today we still talk about Abraham. I was in a police station probably a year ago, maybe 18 months ago. The head of the detective section at the station level had all the rookies around him, and he was making fun of a biblical event. He was making fun of the event of Abraham taking Isaac up to sacrifice him, of all things to talk about. When Chappie walks into the room, he didn't know that I was there, sitting at the computer, listening to him rant and rave about Abraham and how stupid that was. But what he missed was, and what I called him out on, I said, "Yeah, you're a detective. You missed the evidence. You don't even understand what's going on. It was a place where Christ was going to be crucified, 2,500 years before Christ was crucified." And he was pointing, what was Abraham doing? He was pointing to the fact that Christ is the only way of salvation. Detective, down at Franconia, absolutely missed that. Abraham didn't. Isaac didn't. The question is, have we? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Verse 4. "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and we know today that they have, and will give unto thy seed all these countries," which he has, "and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." When you miss the fact that God wanted Abraham to be light, that he wanted to show that light to the Gentile nations, when you miss that, you take a pragmatic approach to ministry. What is that? It's all about numbers, growth, who's ever the biggest, the best, whoever's got the best slick glossy. And you have a results-oriented faith rather than an obedience-oriented faith. Are you obeying God? What are the results? We forget. Why we say, "Why go?" Why we forget to be light. We stop telling people about Christ. What's the big deal? Greenbelt, Maryland, PG County was in the news this week. Senior Skip Day. And people have done Senior Skip Day. How many of you participated in Senior Skip Day when you were a teenager? Nobody? Oh, yeah, I did. We did Senior Skip Day. As a matter of fact, we had a planned activity, and the sponsor for our class headed it up. Went with us, and we went canoeing, of all things. Senior Skip Day, PG County. The picture on the newspaper was of the police cars on the side of the road, and they had 12 young people sitting on their backside on the shoulder of the road, all in handcuffs, with their feet out in front of them, their hands behind their back, and they're all locked up. Why? Because on their Senior Skip Day, somebody got upset, somebody had a gun, and 5 people got shot. What crazy stuff. Crazy. And so what's the danger of not being light? People over in PG County don't hear about Jesus Christ. And on a Senior Skip Day, 5 people that should be looking at what they're going to do, going off to college, getting married, having children, being raised in a free country to be able to work and to be able to prosper, they're dead. People die. And they die without Christ. All nations, this promise in Genesis, all nations were impacted. Turn with me to Psalm 47. We're going to spend some time in Psalm. People say, "Oh, Pastor, this is really not in the Bible." It is. We're just going to look at Psalms this morning, a couple of passages in Isaiah. I want to change the way you look at your Bible, especially the Old Testament, when you read it. Psalm 47, verse 1. Psalm 47, verse 1. "Great is the Lord. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people." Oh, clap your hands. How many? All. Whosoever will. "All ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over" where? "Over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under his feet and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God stirreth up the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Turn with me to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Over and over again in the book of Psalms, the psalmist praises the fact that God is over all the nations. Abraham is mentioned. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. This is what Peter forgot. This is what Peter failed to study. This is what Peter is having his epiphany in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, but it is really nothing new. If Peter would have gone back and read the Psalms, he would have heard and seen that God is a God to all nations. Let the people praise thee, verse 3, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. The nations, not just Israel. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, our own God, shall bless us. God bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 67, over and over again, all. It's not just for the Jew. It is not just for the Calvinist. It is not just for the church. It is our job to be light. Turn with me to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Look at verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. God's salvation is not just for a particular group of people. God's salvation has always been whosoever will. Verse 12, let the field be joyful and all that is therein, then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Look with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Look at Psalm 117. For time this morning, we're not going to read. We'll read in the entirety of Psalm 117. When you get there, you'll smile. Two verses. Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I know you're going to be skeptic. There's always a skeptic in the room saying, preacher. I know it says all. I know you got the whosoever will. But really, do you think that people in all the world and every nation have trusted Christ as their Savior? I know there's a few rogue examples, Ruth the Moabitess and Rahab the harlot in Jericho. I know there was one here and one there, but really, preacher, the whole world? Hang on. We're going to get there. Psalm 22. Go backwards a little bit. Psalm 22, verse 25. This is worth looking at. Psalm 22. Verse 25, 26, and 27. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them. This is not what I want. Okay, verse 27. All the ends of the world shall remember. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before me. Before thee. A really preacher, people all over. That's what the psalmist said. And this is nothing new, that God wanted salvation to go to the world. It's pretty common. Pretty common. Look at me to Isaiah chapter 12. So we know what the psalmist thought. Look at Isaiah. By the time you get to Isaiah, you're talking about the exile. You're in here somewhere, and Israel, because they forgot they were supposed to be light, and they turned to doing other things, and God sent them to Babylon. What do you think Daniel did in Babylon? Do you think Daniel was a light to the Babylonians? Do you think there was anybody in Babylon that got saved? Maybe Nebuchadnezzar. He gives a pretty clear salvation testimony. What did God do that caused Daniel to go to Babylon? God said, man, if you're not going to be light, if you're not going to go, I'll force you to go. When we look at that, oh, let's look at Isaiah chapter 12. That's more of next week. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doing among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known. Where is it known? According to Isaiah, in all the earth. Look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Clock is not my friend this morning. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Again, you ask in the typical Bible college class, when did God first get interested in the Gentiles? They'll tell you Acts chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 42. God calls them by name. Judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up. What are we supposed to... What do you think God is taking to the Gentiles? Keep reading. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Jew. Are you looking? For a light to the Gentiles. I know last week when I said Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, when he said to the Jewish people, you're supposed to be a light, they were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles, that was some kind of a epiphany that all of a sudden was launched out upon mankind in Matthew chapter 5. No. We're in Isaiah. In Isaiah, they were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles, but they forgot. They didn't do it. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Look at me, Isaiah chapter 49. And again, you go through Isaiah, you'll see this over and over and over again, and we could not possibly go through all the texts and all the scriptures that point to the fact that God is interested in everybody coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. And he said, is it a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. Again, this is not Acts chapter 10. This is not first century. This is way off here. God said to Abraham, I'll bless them, bless thee, curse them, and curse thee. And in thee, in salvation, in redemption, everybody's going to receive blessing. Now he's out here in Isaiah, and he says to Isaiah, man, you folks supposed to be a light to the Gentiles? What you doing? Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you at it? Why aren't you? Say, preacher, what about those who've never heard the gospel? I will say this. It was probably 20 years ago. It was in this room. I was preaching a message. And in the room, over on this side, about three rows back, was a preacher that I have known for a long time. And he was a guest in the service. We have a preacher come from time to time. And I said, it is not that the world has not heard. It is that we have stopped proclaiming. I said, the fact that there are people that have never heard is a testimony to the fact that we have stopped proclaiming. And he, three rows back, and he's just shaking his head. Oh, no, no. There are people who have never heard. There are going to be people all over the world. No. There are. The world knows of God's salvation, but there have families, moms and dads, who just said, yeah, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to tell my kids about Christ. I'm not going to be a gospel witness. And we just stopped. We stopped being light. Israel stopped being light. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is, again, before Acts chapter 10. And what did Christ say to his disciples in Acts chapter 8? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's not a new epiphany. That's what they were supposed to be doing all along, and they stopped doing it. This is a rededication or a re-understanding of what they were supposed to be doing in Genesis chapter 12, throughout the Old Testament, in the time of Isaiah, coming to the birth of Jesus Christ and his first message in Matthew chapter 5. We've always supposed to have been light. Our entire purpose for being here is to be light. We were just in Thessalonians. You preach a message on reaching the world for Christ, and everybody goes, ugh. Well, I'll be glad you got one more week of this. One more week. Whoa, I'll be so glad when he's done. I can't until we get on to something exciting about the rapture, about the tribulation, the second coming, the millennial reign, the great white throne judgment. Tell me what's coming in the future. I just remind you, Thessalonians chapter 3, we were just there. And I pointed this out. Chapter 3, verse 12, talks about the rapture. Chapter 4, verse 1 begins with, but Christ looked at the church at Thessalonica, and he said, Christ is coming back. You haven't been left behind. You ought, the whole book of Thessalonians, I hope you didn't miss this, the whole book of Thessalonians is to tell Christians how they're supposed to live in the present tense. Chapter 4 starts out with but, and verse 1 of chapter 4 says, but of the times and seasons, ye have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because we're supposed to be light all the way through. Not just look. For this event, not just go and go up to the mountaintop. The Thessalonians was not written to the people to say, hey, you know, just try to hold the fort for I am coming. No, we're to get out there. Headline yesterday, World War III watch. I'm happy to report that nobody sent me the news article. Nobody. Praise the Lord. We're making progress. God's not going to say, the times and seasons, ye have no need that I write unto you. Christ is coming back. In the meantime, we should be light. We read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And just for the record, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is before Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. It's a long time after Isaiah, I think you'd agree, when God very clearly said, you're to be a light to the Gentiles. What does that mean? Well, long before Acts chapter 1, there's Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 6, verse 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If that was not written for the day and age, I don't know if you saw the article, a group of folks got off the bus and there were four kids there that were dressed, they were furries, they were dressed as animals. And the complaint was that they were going around biting people and licking people as they got off the bus. We're to take the gospel to who? Every creature. And you think God put that by accident in Mark chapter 16, verse 15? That's not by accident. God knew before the foundation of the world that here in 2024, we were going to be a messed up people as we were on our way to the rapture. And God said, there are going to be some people that call themselves all kinds of things, and you just take the gospel to them. But I sat in a class 25 years ago of preachers. It was a class module on ethics, and we all sat there and debated whether or not we were going to take the gospel to somebody who was raised in a test tube. 27 preachers in the room, only two of us said we would witness to every creature. 25 preachers said no, because we believe that somebody who has been cloned in a test tube doesn't have a soul. And they said, Brother Bishop, what do you say about that? The Bible said, take it to every creature. And I'm not here to try to debate whether or not they have a soul. My mandate is to take the gospel to every creature. And if something qualifies as a creature, that's probably it. Turn to the Revelation. Coming down to the end. We've got 2 minutes. We're going to get through this. Goosebump warning. Is Revelation, 7th chapter, the 9th verse, talking about 12,000 from each tribe that are going to hear about Jesus Christ and embrace God's salvation. Are you ready for this? After the 12,000, 144,000 Jewish missionaries, who are they going to? The world. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Well, sure, Jewish people getting saved during tribulation. Read on. Which no man could number. Are you there? Are you reading? Who? Who's going to get saved? Of all nations, of all kindreds, and people, and tongues. Stood before the throne. And before the Lamb. Clothed with white robes. How many people are going to be saved? How many people were saved in the Old Testament? How many? Just Jewish people, right? Only Jewish people could be saved in the Old Testament, right? Oh no. Of all nations, of all kindreds, of all people, of all tongues, everyone's represented. Everyone. And what are they crying? Verse 10. Sounds like a gospel witness to me. Saying with a loud voice. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. That's their testimony. Sounds like they've embraced Christ to me. Maxwell Alzaretto, St. Augustine, Florida, 37 years of age, died Friday, 10:30 p.m. Earlier in the day, he set himself on fire in front of the New York City courthouse. Article said he got caught up in the conspiracy stuff. Defined himself as a self-investigative reporter. You get your eyes off Christ, you have no idea where you're going to end up. There's a man that thought setting himself on fire was the way to show that he was light. God didn't say set yourself on fire. He didn't say to Isaiah, set yourself on fire. He didn't say in Matthew chapter 5, set yourself on fire. He said, let your light shine. Christian, is your light shining or have you forgotten? If you've forgotten, there's a great danger. Come back next week, we'll talk about that. If you're without Christ, the answer is not set yourself on fire. The answer is embrace Christ. Bow your heads, close your eyes. The question is, will you go? Will you be trained? Will you be light? The answer is telling, and the answer is dangerous. And Christian, the question is for you, for every single one of you to answer this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved, and I want to be of every nation, tongue, and kindred. I want to be represented. I want my people to be represented. I'm without Christ. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano playing. The altar is open. Invitation will not be long.